This morning's reading is from 1 Corinthians. And if you like to keep your Bible open during the sermon, it would be found on page 1771 in the Pew Bible. I'm reading chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And this is a letter from Paul to these people. And in those days, if a letter was received into the church, it would have been read to the people, and nobody would have words to follow along with. So I encourage you to take this as a letter and listen to what I'm sharing to you, as if you are the people that Paul is writing to. I'm reading from The Voice, which is a somewhat more conversational translation. Now let me turn to some issues about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters. There's much you need to learn. Remember the way you used to live when you were pagans, apart from God? You were engrossed, enchanted with voiceless idols, led astray by mere images carved by human hands. With that in mind, I want you to understand that no one saying Jesus is cursed is operating under God's Spirit. And no one confessing Jesus is Lord can do so without the Holy Spirit's inspiration. Now there are many kinds of grace gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are many different ways to serve, but they're all directed by the same Lord. There are many amazing work gifts in the church, but it is the same God who energizes them all in all who have the gifts. Each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence. That gift is given for the good of the whole community. The Spirit gives one person a word of wisdom, but to the next person, the same Spirit gives a word of knowledge. Another will receive the gift of faith by the same Spirit, and still another gifts of healing, all from the one Spirit. One person is enabled by the Spirit to perform miracles, another to prophesy, while another is enabled to distinguish those prophetic spirits. The next one speaks in various kinds of unknown languages, while another is able to interpret those languages. One Spirit works all these things in each of them individually as he sees fit. Just as a body is one whole made up of many different parts, and all the different parts comprise the one body, so it is with the Anointed One. We were all ceremonially washed through baptism together into one body by the Spirit. No matter our heritage, Jew or Greek, insider or outsider, no matter our status, oppressed or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Here's what I mean. The body is not made of one large part, but of many different parts. Would it seem right for the foot to cry, "I'm not a hand, so I couldn't be part of this body"? Even if it did, it wouldn't be any less joined to the body. And what about an ear? If the ear started to whine, "I am not an eye, I shouldn't be attached to this body," in all its pouting, it is still part of the body. Imagine the entire body as an eye. How would a giant eye be able to hear? And if the entire body were an ear, how would an ear be able to smell? This is where God comes in. God has meticulously put this body together. He placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function he wanted. If all members were a single part, where would the body be? So now, many members function within the one body. The eye cannot wail at the hand, "I have no need for you." Nor could the head bellow at the feet, "I won't go one more step with you." It's actually the opposite. The members who seem to have the weaker functions are necessary to keep the body moving. The body parts that seem less important, we treat as some of the most valuable. And those unfit, untamed, unpresentable members, we treat with an even greater modesty. That's something the more presentable members don't need. But God designed the body in such a way that greater significance is given to the seemingly insignificant part. That way, there should be no division in the body. Instead, all the parts mutually depend on and care for one another. If one part is suffering, then all the members suffer alongside it. If one member is honored, then all the members celebrate alongside it. You are the body of the anointed, the liberating king. Each and every one of you is a vital member. God has appointed gifts in the assembly. First, emissaries. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then, miracle workers, healers, helpers, administrators, and then those who speak with various unknown languages. Are all members gifted as emissaries? Are all gifted with prophetic utterance? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles, or are all gifted in healing arts? Do all speak or interpret unknown languages? Of course not. Pursue the greater gifts, and let me tell you of a more excellent way, love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Pat. Sometimes it's good for us to hear the same passage in a different version. So when Pat asked, I said, yeah, go ahead and read it. And it's very good for you to invest in different versions of the Bible so you can see, because you don't know Greek and Hebrew. So what the different versions do is they give you different from the same passage, from the same word, they give you other possibilities of what that same word could mean. So they don't change it necessarily. They just want to make it more, explain a passage or a verse more in depth. So it's always good for you to have your favorite version and then have one or two different versions so you can read the same passage in one or two different versions. I just advise you to do that. Or you can buy a parallel Bible. There are some Bibles that have four or five different versions, side by side in columns. It's a good, good investment. All right, for the past few weeks, we've been learning and meditating about the Holy Spirit, and rightly so, because the Holy Spirit often gets neglected. People don't even know what they know about God, they know about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is like, well, somewhere in between them is the Holy Spirit. And as I said when I started preaching about the Holy Spirit, unfortunately, people go as far, and I'm talking about churches, as to consider the Holy Spirit a really strange being, you know, like crazy Uncle Harry, that we hope he doesn't show up at family gatherings because he's going to mess up the flow that we have. Well, we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit. We need to become acquainted with the Holy Spirit, and we need to pray and know the Holy Spirit better. Don't you wonder why we dedicate time to talk about Thanksgiving during Thanksgiving time in November? And then don't you wonder about how long we spend talking about Jesus, his birth, his purpose during Christmas and Easter, his death? But what about the Holy Spirit? We don't really do that as faithfully as we speak about these other spiritual, you know, themes that we need to talk about. So We do need to learn about the Holy Spirit. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit. We need to preach about the Holy Spirit. So first and foremost, you need to know that it is the Spirit of God, the Spirit, who determines which gifts to give to everyone, to you, to me. That was decided by the Holy Spirit, okay? They work in sync, in unity. But it was not the Father who decided. It was not the Son. It was the Holy Spirit. They all agree. right? It was not the Holy Spirit who died on the cross. It was not God the Father who died on the cross. Who died on the cross was Jesus. But they were all there. They all agree. So it's a different role, and it's very hard to understand the Trinity. And that's why we need to continue to learn about each of the roles and the fact that they are one God still, in spite of the differences in the roles. So the Holy Spirit is the one who decided, who determined to give whatever gifts you have. And hopefully by the end of this time, you will learn a little bit more what that gift or those gifts are in you. Verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each, all these, like talking about the gifts. All these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So it's his decision. This passage in general speaks of unity, a rich life by the gifts that the Spirit gives, a need to live in community, to put those gifts to practice. And so the Holy Spirit is very organized, and he equips and he prepares the church. All these, the gifts, the unity of the body that we heard about this morning, how one eye can't say, I'm the most important one because I can see, and the arm can't see, and the foot can't see. Well, the foot can say, well, you can't walk, eye. You can't walk, take off. You know, an eyeball cannot take off walking. My foot can, my feet can. Well, the hands are needed. The nose is needed. The mouth is needed. The ears are needed. Everything has a purpose, and we need everything. So the passage really, in general, is talking about unity, purpose, and gifts, the way the Holy Spirit, all this is the work of the Holy Spirit, has been preparing and continues to prepare the church for the purpose of perfecting the church, getting the church ready for what? The greatest wedding of all times, the wedding of the Lamb, when we will be ready. And trust me, we're not ready. The church is not ready. If the church would be ready, we wouldn't be here. We'd be there where we will be for eternity. So it is God the Holy Spirit who decided what gifts each of you would receive. And all of us at least have one of these gifts. And they are distributed to individuals as the Spirit wills for the purpose of the common good. That's what the passage says. So that's the first thing you need to know. The second one is you need to know, I'm going to emphasize it, that these gifts are given to you, not just to keep and to say, well, I have this gift. They're giving for the purpose of your growth, your progress, and the service of others, the service of the church. And if we all practice our gifts, if we all put them to work, the body will be ready sooner. You see, so you and me, we have a say, so to speak, in how soon the Lord Jesus will come. Will the church be ready? Some of that depends on you. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing with the gifts that God has given you? With your time? We're talking about general gifts, okay? With your time, with your money. Are you hoarding it or are you being generous? Are you wasting your time or are you using it to serve? I'm not saying you can't use your time for personal entertainment. But are you using your time for the service of others or is it all about you? Are you using your money to bless others or is it all about you? Are you using your talent? So this is what this passage is making us think of. So let me read to you verses 4 and 5 again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. There it is. The Spirit is God. Now, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay, Paul wants to make sure his readers get it. I want to make sure my people, my sheep, get it. So it's repeated. Third, you need to know that the work of the Spirit in us and through us produces fruit. It's visible. It produces fruit. And we will focus on the fruit of the Spirit more. The fruit that the Spirit produces in us, we'll talk about that more in detail next week. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So today we're focusing on the gifts. Different, right? Fruit and gifts. The gifts produce fruit. It's visible. Well, these are the gifts of the Spirit. In today's passage, we are told there are 9 of them. Pay attention, because you are in one of these. Everyone has a gift. Let us take an in-depth look at the 9 spiritual gifts. And again, all these produce fruit. The first one mentioned in this passage is word of wisdom. What is this? Practical, divinely given insight for specific situations. Some people are naturally wise. I'm sure you can think of people that are naturally wise, and they give great counsel and advice. That's because they have this gift. Like, there are people that you would think of, okay, I need to talk about this. I'll call so-and-so, or I'll go visit so-and-so, because this person, you say, is wise, or this person gives me good counsel. That's the gift of wisdom. They don't just come up with it. They have the gift of wisdom. Word of wisdom is called. Call it, you see it in a person who is wise, gives wise counsel. I'm not talking about perfect, because there's not one person who is perfect, but a person who is wise, walks in wisdom, and you notice their lives, they're not impulsive, they weigh things, they consider things, and for the most part, they make wise decisions, and they help others make wise decisions. If you have that gift, don't hold it back. Like, you have that insight. It's a word of wisdom. And some of these overlap. Some people will have the word of wisdom, and then usually they go together, word of knowledge. If you notice, people who are wise sometimes will tell you things that you think, wow, that's a really good insight. You use the word insight, that's word of knowledge. So the second gift is word of knowledge. And it's a supernatural awareness of information, of truth, not naturally known. You know, when people say there's just something about that person, or there's something about this situation that doesn't seem right, that's the gift of word of knowledge, usually connected to the gift of wisdom. So, pay attention when you see someone or you feel that within you. Word of knowledge is a supernatural inner awareness of information, of insight about a situation, about a person that is not naturally known and that other people may not even see. Don't underestimate how important it is, this gift for the common good. These people seem to know the inside of people, the little intricate details of situations, without much effort. They just kind of know that's not going to go well for him or go well for her. Well, go tell them. Put it to work. You can't just keep it. You see, the devil would like for us to not put these gifts to work, because he knows they're given by God. And we're delaying the coming of Jesus in a way, in some ways, by not exercising the gifts that we've been given. So it's a huge responsibility, people, to have these gifts. So be willing to look like a fool. Be willing to make a mistake, because it's important that you use the gifts. These people seem to know the inside of people or situations without much effort. That's because they have this gift, word of knowledge, which usually goes with word of wisdom. Okay, what is the next gift? Faith. Faith is manifested in an amazing, unwavering trust in God for specific situations, for specific needs. Now, the Bible defines faith, right? In Hebrews 11, is the conviction of things that are to come. It's seeing things that are not as if they are. That's a gift of faith. Some people don't have any trouble having that kind of faith. Other people do. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to have faith. You're not off the hook. But some people are given this specific gift of faith. And they have this unwavering trust in God for specific needs, for specific situations. Some people have a unique and strong faith which allows them to face every situation with peace and assurance, no matter what. That's the gift of faith. So, let me pause here for a moment. All these gifts are seen in fruit, okay? And I'm not talking the fruit that is produced in us that we'll talk about next week. But they are these gifts, word of wisdom that I've talked about so far, word of knowledge and faith, they produce fruit in generosity. For example, word of knowledge. You send someone, maybe is going through a really difficult situation, and you have the money to help them. This gift produces fruit. You in generosity, or somebody needs to be served, and you come and you have a sense, and you know this person needs. I'm just going to give you an example, very personal. You know me and gardening. Well, some of the weeds look like flowers to me, and even though I've been here for years and years, they're really pretty. Some of those people, you know, things that people pull out, I think, why? They look really pretty. So my garden was overgrown. And somebody saw that need a year ago, and it was way overgrown. I thought these flowers are just going crazy. And they came and weeded my garden. That's a gift of service that comes from the work of the Spirit in us. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, all these are united, and they're woven into action. Service, prayer. You sense somebody is in need, you go pray for them. That's the gift at work. Or acts of kindness. You know, somebody needs words of encouragement. So these gifts, wisdom, knowledge, word of knowledge, and faith, turn into actions. The fourth one mentioned here is the gift of healing. People who have this specific gift often pray for people with physical or emotional needs, and they are healed. Now, just because you don't have the gift of healing or you think you don't have it, it does not mean that you can't pray for people to be healed. But some people, when they pray, people are often healed. And not necessarily always. I've known of great people who have had this gift of healing, where they share with you one time or two times or whatever, God said, no, not this time, no. But this gift is connected with a special anointing. So it's okay for you to say, so-and-so has a gift of healing. I want that person to pray for me or for my loved one. Again, with other people praying, for the whole body should come and support that gift of healing, praying for that person. When somebody has a gift of healing, you could also pray, God, direct this person who has this gift of healing to pray exactly according to your will. Let this person hear how you want to heal this person through the prayer of this specific person. You could be a support to the person being prayed for or to the person praying, if you don't think you have the gift of healing. The other one is working of miracles. This gift is displayed in acts of power that defy natural laws. It's very rare, but people have had it. People have seen it in, at work. I know one of my favorite authors, actually my favorite author after the Bible, is Watchman Nee, a Chinese writer. His Chinese name is Nee Tso Tong. And this man, God used him in he had this gift, working of miracles. And hundreds of people saw it. And there are books and talk about faith. Usually this gift is tied to faith. So they kind of come in pairs. Words of wisdom comes usually with word of knowledge. And then you have faith, gifts of healing. They kind of go together. Usually if you get one, you get the other. And we should all pray that God will use us through the gifts he's given us and ask God to, as the passage tells us, to enrich us with gifts. And yet, the greatest one of all, when the passage ends, says is love. And then we go on to 1 Corinthians 13, and it explains us clearly what love is and what love is not. So gifts, working of miracles, it's another gift. And then the sixth one is prophecy. Ah, what is that? Well, this gift is found in every man or woman who preaches the word of God. At least it should. If they were called by God authentically, listen, there are a lot of people who are preaching today that were not called by God. You can be sure of that. Because they're preaching garbage. They're not preaching the word. But if you truly were called by God, you are going to have this gift of prophecy. Because the gift of prophecy is simply conveying, and I'll explain it not just this way, I'll explain it in detail in a minute, but it has to do with conveying the mysteries of God to the people of God in a way that is easy to grasp, easy to understand. So they can hear God speaking. That's a gift of prophecy. But this gift is also displayed, and a lot of people don't believe that, but it's biblical. This gift is also displayed when God gives a specific message today for a specific circumstance through one of his people who has this gift. So sometimes, I'll give you an example, because I have this gift. There was a friend of mine years ago, very close friend of ours. I was still in the church pastoring with my husband, and she was sterile. God, she had something going on that would not allow her to conceive children. And we prayed and prayed for her because we were expecting a miracle. We really were asking God for a miracle. So one day as we were praying, just three of us maybe, I sensed clearly God's word saying, she's going to get pregnant. And so I heard that. I knew it was not me. I was just praying other things, comfort and a miracle, yes, but not like she's going to get pregnant. I knew it was not me. And I thought, oh boy, what do I do with this? And the Lord said, tell her. What? But I did. And as I began to speak, something incredible happened. My mouth opened to say, you're going to get pregnant and you're going to have three children. And I wanted to go, oops. What did I say? And she started to cry. 3 months later, she was pregnant with her first child. A year later, she was pregnant with her second child. And a bit later, she was pregnant with her third child. The doctors could not understand it. So what would have happened if I think more about my reputation and think, well, if it doesn't come true in the Old Testament, they would have stoned me. And now my reputation would be ruined. So what? Take a risk. So what? Take a risk and obey God. I knew that I wasn't making it up, and I knew there was a risk that I wasn't really hearing from God. Take a risk. Didn't Jesus take a risk for you? The gifts need to be put to work. The gifts need to be used for the common good. That's what a gift is for. It's not for you to brag about and say, I have the gift of prophecy. It's to be used. Now, in this gift of prophecy, sometimes you will hear something like, go buy a special gift for that person. Take that person out to eat. Encourage them. Tell them I love them. Send them a check. Sometimes this gift is combined with sacrifice, and it's always seen in fruit. Remember, all these gifts are seen in fruit. All right, let's move on. No one is leaving until I'm done. Discerning of spirits. That's the other gift. This gift has to do with the ability some people have to distinguish between divine, human, and evil influences. These people seem to naturally know when someone is real and when someone is not. These people seem to know almost right away when someone is fake. These people seem to know almost right away when someone is not on the right track or something is off. When you say something is off about that person, you're actually using this gift, the discerning of spirits. And all these gifts, you know, we definitely have, most people have more than one. So these people seem to naturally know when someone is the real deal and when someone is a fake Christian or has a false faith. What is a false faith? Name it and claim it, gospel. I name it and I claim it and it comes to pass. That's more like fake faith. These people just know who is who. Sometimes they don't pay attention to it because they doubt it. They think, oh, maybe I'm judging. I've heard people with this gift thinking, oh, maybe I'm judging. That's not judging. That's discerning what people do or who people are. Okay, let's move on. Speaking in tongues. This is one that not a lot of people like. Speaking in tongues. This is one that people are often even scared of. It has to do with speaking supernaturally in languages never learned, whether they are human languages or heavenly languages. Well, where do you get that, Pastor? No, there are no, you know, jibber-jabber that is authorized by the Bible. Yes, there is. Read 1 Corinthians 13 that speaks of languages that are heavenly languages. So yes, a person with this gift, I heard one time someone in a conference saying to someone, do you speak Chinese? No. He said, well, you were praying in Chinese. I speak Chinese. So the man thought it was a heavenly language. He was praying in Chinese. These are supernatural things the Spirit does. See, that's why a lot of people are scared of the Spirit and don't want him near. Well, he already lives in you. Might as well get acquainted to him. The other gift is interpretation of tongues. This gift is often given alongside of the gifts of tongues, and it has to do with understanding and explaining messages spoken in tongues as we pray or as they are given to the congregation. This has happened in congregations that someone is speaking in tongues and someone says, I know exactly what he's saying. It's happened to me before. And so you either say it alongside, and in fact, Paul says the gift of tongues should always exist with interpretation of tongues. Again, the gifts are usually given in pairs. So the gift of tongues usually comes with interpretation of tongues. All these gifts, people, we're almost done, all these gifts are all given by the Spirit as he wills to all believers. And they are given for the common good of the church, to build up the church. and to make the person who has a gift grow in faith and grow in intimacy with God and obedience to God. So because they have a specific purpose and intention, it is of utmost urgency for each of you and for me to find out what your gift, your own spiritual gift is, and make sure that you're using it. Do you hear me say that? Make sure you're using it. Find out what your spiritual gift is and use it. Use it for the common good of the church, for others. And when you do that, you will be using it for the glory of God. So which gift do you think you have? If you don't know, it's time that you find out. Do some self-examination. Think about it as we pray, as we end in prayer. And as I read these verses that the passage ends with, I just want you to know that God has put something precious inside of you that no one can use as well as you can. So I want you to commit yourself to using that gift for the glory of God and the common good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you say at the end of this passage. And once again, Lord, as we are reminded of what verses 27 through 30 say, we pray that you will speak to us. And at the end, Father, we want to pray that you will do with us as you please. Now you are the body of Christ. Listen up what the Word of God says. And each one of you is a part of it. You're a part of the glorious body of Christ, people. And God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, of helping, guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And we know the answer to this is no. Different people have different gifts, right? And then it ends, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And my brothers and sisters, we know that the greatest gift is love. And love is what makes us walk in these gifts and put them into practice. Respond to God by using your gifts today. My brothers and sisters, this is a call to ask God what gifts he has given you and examine yourself to see if you are using this gift or those gifts for the glory of God and the enhancement of his kingdom. Let us pray. Talk to God. Respond to God. And then I will close. Father, we thank you that you have equipped us with at least one, most likely two gifts, and maybe three or four. And Lord, we thank you that you're the one who chooses. God, the Holy Spirit, you are in our midst. We worship and adore your holy name. And we want to ask you today to show us specifically what those gifts are. And we want to pray for the courage to use them. Even if at times we're wrong, you'll train us to really hear and discern your voice clearly, to know how to really put into practice those gifts. It's like learning a sport. This is more important, Lord, because we're learning how to use the gifts that you have given to us. So we pray for the grace to do that so that we can contribute to the common good and the enhancement of the kingdom of God here on earth. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.